traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Let's face it, in our busy lives, we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. In fact, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables each day, missing out on essential vitamins, minerals, fibers, and antioxidants. And that's where Balance in Nature comes in. Balance in Nature sources only the best produce, free from pesticides, heavy metals, and harmful bacteria. And Balance in Nature is the best fruit and vegetable product on the market. They use only fresh whole fruits and vegetables inside each capsule. They don't use any GMOs, fillers, binding agents, or preservatives of any kind. You're getting real food, real science, real nutrition. I would never endorse a product that I don't use myself, and since using Balance in Nature, I feel more alert, I have more energy, my focus is sharper, and I feel great. Live life to the fullest and choose Balance in Nature. And guess what? PAS Report listeners can get 35% off the first preferred order. Start getting the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables you need by using code PAS at balanceofnature.com.
Welcome to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast. The PAS Report provides an honest analysis on the critical issues that matter to you without the biased media filters. Here's your host, Professor Nicholas Giordano.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the PAS Report Podcast. Is your host, Nick Giordano. I hope you had a great weekend, except for maybe the people in Southern Florida. They got hammered with rain. Here in New York, it's actually been beautiful. Horrible state to live in, but it's been nice nonetheless. Unfortunately, you can't go anywhere because who the hell could afford the high gas prices? It's insane. You have a place in California, I was reading, going up to nearly $10 a gallon of gas. That's unaffordable. We cannot sustain this. Here in New York, it's hovering between $4.80 and $5 a gallon, and it keeps on going up. So I don't know what this administration is doing, but they certainly should wake up, because this is not going to help them in the midterms. I mean, I don't care what political party you come from. There's most Americans who are struggling financially. They can't sustain the high cost of gas. They can't sustain the high cost of food. They can't sustain this insanity, the fires all over the place. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in November. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not we have the red wave, which I do think a red wave is coming, but how big it's going to be. But I don't want to harp on that too much, because I have a great guest coming in, one of my favorite guests. I have Miranda Devine, author of Laptop from Hell, New York Post columnist. She's coming in to talk to us about this fascinating piece that she wrote, and I found it really interesting regarding the Hunter Biden saga. It really shines a light on this elite class, this two-tier system that we have in place. So we're going to break it all down for you. Before I jump in, make sure you go to the PAS Report website, PASReport.com, sign up for the newsletter, and make sure to follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. With that out of the way, I want to bring in Miranda Devine, author of Laptop from Hell, someone who actually still knows what journalism is about and actually practices journalism. So it's a pleasure to bring her in. Miranda, how are you today?
Thanks, Nick. Great to be with you.
I'm glad to have you, because you wrote a fascinating piece. But the first question I have to ask you, in your lifetime, has anyone ever paid $20,000 a month to rent you a waterfront property and hired you a team of 30 lawyers?
No, but look, I'm not saying I wouldn't accept it. That would be lovely. Hey, please. I'd love a waterfront home and pay off what, $2.8 million thereabouts of unpaid taxes. Sure. Who would say no to that?
Sounds like a good deal. Now, you wrote this piece about Hunter Biden getting this from a guy named Kevin Morris. Can you explain to the audience who Kevin Morris is?
So Kevin Morris is a very wealthy entertainment lawyer in Los Angeles, and he made his money primarily from the South Park guys. He did a deal for them. He gets 10% of their earnings, and that's made him fabulously wealthy. And he is a guy who lives not far from Hunter Biden in Malibu. And somehow, I'm not quite sure how, they became friends in recent years. And Hunter Biden's former friends call this guy, Kevin Morris, Hunter's latest sugar brother, because of his generous generous-spiritedness. But what he's also doing, apart from helping Hunter get off the hook with this grand jury investigation going on into his business dealings and his tax problems in Delaware, he's also trying to help sort of refurbish his reputation and I guess the reputation of Joe Biden and Jim Biden as well, by trying to flip the script, flip the narrative on the laptop. And he doesn't appear to be tackling the actual content of the laptop, which is very damning in terms of the evidence that it provides of the Biden family influence peddling scheme around the world when Joe Biden was vice president and the tens of millions of dollars that came into their bank accounts from China and Russia and Kazakhstan and so on. I mean, that's very difficult for them to refute because, you know, it's been authenticated every which way. You know, there are documents which show the money coming in and so on. So it's hard to refute that. And Hunter himself has even sort of admitted that, you know, it could be my laptop and so on. Mm-hmm. But what they're trying to do is go after the laptop origin story. And, you know, John Paul MacIsaac, the Delaware MacBook repair shop owner, who said that in April of 2019, Hunter Biden came into his store with three water-damaged MacBook computers, Mac computers, and he abandoned one of them, which then became MacIsaac's legal property after 90 days. Now, you know, MacIsaac has a lot of evidence to show that what he's saying is the truth. You know, receipts, documentation from the FBI when he called them and they came and picked up the laptop, you know, the receipt with Hunter Biden's signature on it to do the work. So there's no reason to doubt him, but this is what Kevin Morrison crew are trying to do. And look, I'm open to hearing anything anybody has to say about this story. I'm a journalist. I'm quite happy to accept information and evidence if it's real. But so far, all they seem to have is these sort of dubious connections between people. They seem to be trying to create this vast right-wing conspiracy originated with Roger Stone, who's had nothing to do with this story from the get-go. I mean, when I rang him to find out what he thought about Kevin Morris's, you know, new conspiracy theory, he said the first time he knew about this story was when he read about it in the New York Post in October of 2020. So, I mean, you know, I've been working on this story since then for a long time, and Roger Stone his name has never come up. So, but it's just a way of dragging him in because he's friends with someone who's friends with someone. And I think what they're trying to do is assert that another laptop that Hunter had left behind earlier with his then psychiatrist, Keith Abloh, in Newburyport, Massachusetts, that was another laptop that he abandoned, that it's in fact that laptop which forms the basis of all the material that we have, and that there was no other laptop. And, you know, someone stole the laptop, or Hunter's iCloud cloud was hacked and so on. So this is what they're doing. And it really has no basis in reality, but it serves to muddy the waters or put up a smoke screen that for people who are willing to not believe the story and you know, the media that has ignored it since October of 2020, they're ready to believe anything that will give them a sort of a fig leaf to cover their own embarrassment for having not covered it and not known about it.
100%. And I find it amazing because Hunter Biden, he lost three laptops, correct? The one he left at Keith Abloh, the one at John MacIsaac's, and then Russian intelligence got a hold of one, correct?
Well, I don't know Russian intelligence. Okay. So all we know, we know this from Hunter's own telling of it in a video that he recorded that's on the laptop that John Paul MacIsaac had. And he just says in there that he had a bender in Vegas. He woke up face down in the lap pool in this luxurious hotel room, and to find that the Russian drug dealers that he'd invited in and the prostitutes were going through his, you know, just basically ransacking his belongings, and they stole his laptop. And he was concerned about this some months later. He was recounting this on this homemade video that he recorded with a prostitute, sort of their post-coital conversation. He said he was worried about it because my father is really important. My father's running to be president, and you know, I have gazillions of dollars, and so they could blackmail me. So that's the third laptop that we know of, but there's actually more than that. I mean, because you have to remember that he was a crackhead. Yes. And so, for much of the period of his father's vice presidency and when he was getting all this money from overseas. Now, the Washington Examiner did a really good forensic investigation. They hired a former Secret Service guy who went through the laptop, and he found that Hunter had at least 46 Apple devices between 2011 and 2019, and that included 8 Mac computers.
That's insane.
So, in 9 years, you have 8 computers. Now, I don't know anyone who just, turns over their computers that fast. He also had 20 iPhones, 9 iPads, and 3 Apple TVs. And I know from looking at the laptop, he was constantly at Apple trying to buy new phones, buy new computers, change his passwords, blah, 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 because he kept on losing them, having them stolen. In his own memoir, he talks about being in the Chateau Marmont on another bender in Hollywood. And he talks about, he calls them, I think, an ant line or something of drug dealers and hookers that would come in through his hotel room and rob him blind and steal all the towels and the hotel paraphernalia and steal stuff out of the mini fridge and order champagne and sirloin steak on his tab. He was robbed blind. This is why all these millions of dollars have disappeared.
He really is a walking disaster. I mean, when you put it that way, I mean, the only other person I know that goes through that many phones was Hillary Clinton, but she bashes them with a hammer when they're done with them. They destroy exactly. Those phones. It really is amazing that this hasn't really bursted out in the media. I mean, I know that New York Times has done a little bit of reporting just so that they could say, hey, see, we did report on it. And the Washington Post, same thing. But I mean, if this was anyone else's child and the father was in a position of such power, I mean, this is big news. This isn't like something that's exaggerating or joking. This is big news because this is an asset for any foreign intelligence agency that exists.
Yeah, that's right. And, it's hackneyed and everyone brings this up. But if this were Don Jr., Donald Trump, one of Donald Trump's kids, you can bet your bottom dollar that there would be a lot more interest shown by legal people, but also by the media, the left-wing media. So, I mean, they went after Donald Trump and his family for every little thing that they could find, and they've been at it nonstop, and they really haven't managed to nail anything home. But we have this US attorney in Delaware who has been investigating for several years problems that Hunter Biden has, whether it be his tax issues or allegations of money laundering or allegations of violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. At which that last problem is something that has put Trump allies in jail, like Paul Manafort. I mean, FARA violations used not to be regarded as so serious before the Trump era. And then suddenly, it seemed to be a great way of nailing Trump allies. And so suddenly they become really important criminal investigations. And then now, lo and behold, just before Hunter Biden, the outcome of this grand jury investigation in Delaware, just before that becomes public, we hear that Steve Wynn, the casino boss, he'd also had some FARA investigations going on to his activities. And that's also been downgraded. The Department of Justice has decided that this is not a jailable offense anymore. It's not a criminal offense. You can register as a foreign agent after the fact and basically get away with the fine. So I think, others have said that this is prelude to softening up the public for slapping Hunter with a limp feather.
Yeah, it's scary when you look at it from that perspective. And I'll bet there was more coverage of the Bush twins getting drunk at a bar when they were in college.
Yeah.
And there is of Hunter Biden and his laptop. But
good
something
point.
That is really a problem that we see is we just witnessed the Sussman character get off in the John Durham trial and the investigation for lying to federal officials. I looked at the evidence. I followed that case pretty closely, and the evidence was compelling. It was overwhelming. However, it was a case in D.C. where you had, I believe it was three Clinton donors, one AOC donor on the jury. It really was a jury of his peers, that's for sure.
But
when you look at that and you see something like that, like the evidence was so clear cut, it was convincing. Again, we saw Trump officials go to jail for perjury because they didn't remember something the way the FBI said they remembered something. And you see someone get not guilty. I mean, is there any real hope that anything's going to come of this investigation in Delaware of Hunter Biden?
Well, I mean, the forewoman of that jury spoke to the media after the Sussman was got off and said, you know, it was a waste of our time. You know, basically, who cares if someone lies to the FBI? What hope do you have prosecuting crimes and convicting someone if that's the attitude of the public? And I guess that's the attitude of the DC public, where 90% of you know, voters voted for Hillary Clinton. So, and you know, we have such a corrupted society now, such a corrupted culture where truth and lies are all relative, you know, and Joe Biden is the perfect president for that era because he's been a compulsive liar, a pathological liar from his earliest days as a senator in Delaware. And he just does not seem able to separate truth from fiction. He makes up completely bogus stories, putting himself at the center of things. His lies seem to be mainly to serve his own ego, and they're very bizarre. But you know, he's
personally
president.
My favorite was the South African jail, the way he went to jail in South Africa to visit Nelson Mandela.
That's right. Yeah, I know. And they're so preposterous and they're so easily provably false. And yet, you know, he blew up two presidential campaigns with his lies, and yet he managed to win one in 2020. And I think that is a sign of how debased our society has become in terms of truth and lies. Because everything's relative, it's my truth and your truth, that just renders lies irrelevant because it's not a lie, it's just your truth. And I think that poses real problems for prosecutors trying to get a jury to find someone guilty of telling lies. And telling lies to the FBI, I mean, the ramifications of Sussman's lie, the Clinton campaign's lie, which it really was, he was just an agent. And we know that Hillary Clinton authorized this lie, one of many lies that they perpetrated. I mean, the ramifications of that have been immense to America's national security, to the Trump presidency. It crippled his presidency for at least 3 years, cost a fortune with the Mueller investigation and so on, but also poisoned the American public against Russia, poisoned the relationship between, you know, the president and Vladimir Putin. And you could argue set in train the events that led to the Ukrainian invasion and the catastrophe that we're seeing now in, you know, with a nuclear power that we're now in a proxy war with.
Wow. That's frightening. And it did poison the relationship. It poisoned the relationship between Democrats and Republicans. And I was talking to a group last night where I was, you know, you look at gas prices, you look at food prices, you look at the cost of everything, you look at the roads in New York are absolutely horrendous, like craters that exist. And yet there's people that say, okay, but I'm still going to vote for the party in power. And I'm just sitting there and I think about that and I'm like, how can you vote for them? And why? And I think the most dangerous thing is the lack of accountability. No single top level official ever gets punished for their action. Ever. I mean, look at Afghanistan. I mean, to this day, we were told for nearly 20 years that we were making progress in Afghanistan, that the Afghan army would be able to stand up, that the Afghan government was stable.
Yeah.
They were saying this all the way up until the couple of weeks before the withdrawal. This is what they were telling the American public. It all goes to hell in a handbag, and not a single leader in the military, in the intelligence community, in the State Department has faced any repercussions from that. So, and that's taking it out of a political realm because, you know, Hunter Biden, they'll say, well, you're just a Republican or conservative to me. But when you take it out of a political realm, nobody's ever punished. How could a system survive like that?
Well, actually, one person was punished. That was a low-level Marine who bad-mouthed his superiors and was hauled over the coals. And I think he lost his job. So
correct. Stuart Shaw.
Exactly. So yes. Good people get punished, and the people who perpetrate the crimes and the wrongdoing and the disasters just seem to get away scot-free. And I think, you know, it's so corrosive to our culture, to our relationships with each other. It means that we can never get anything done. You know, we have a president who came in promising unity and has deliberately divided the country. And that's not what America is about. I mean, it's not what Americans want. And there are good people. But, you know, if you and I didn't pay our taxes, we would be in all kinds of trouble. But if someone in this special protected class doesn't pay their taxes or does all sorts of other bad things, they get away with it. And that just damages people's faith in institutions and in the structure of our society. It makes them retreat and recoil and become cynical. And unfortunately, it hurts them because, you know, you see in a most obvious way where conservatives just say, well, I'm not going to bother voting because I think the whole system's corrupt. And that just makes it easier for the other side. So I kind of say to people when they're cynical and world weary and say, oh, nothing will ever come of the Durham investigation. Nothing will ever happen to the Bidens. I just say, don't bail out. Don't be so cynical. You have to have faith. You have to push for accountability to happen because, you know, if accountability will happen at the ballot box if enough people turn out to vote and that overwhelm the cheating. So you can't give up. You have to. We still have a democracy. We still have a republic. You can still save it. Just don't go off and you know, hide away in your cave and lick your wounds.
And that was the dumbest advice given during the Senate elections in Georgia when people said, oh, exactly. It's rigged. Don't go out and vote. It's like, all exactly. Right, then you have no chance. The reality is you have to go vote. Not only do you have to make up 5% of potential fraud that may occur in order to win.
Exactly.
Just looking at it, how can I take the administration seriously when you have the president coming out there talking about guns and gun laws and gun restrictions when his own son violated gun laws, and then the government was used, our tax dollars was used to cover up his own crime.
So true. And look, you know, this is a situation where Hunter Biden went and bought a gun and lied on the background check. The laws are there for background checks, and yet they're not enforced. I mean, other people, there was a rapper that went to jail for lying on his background check, but Hunter Biden doesn't. And when that gun was taken by his then sister-in-law turned lover, Hallie Biden, and thrown in a trash can at their local, outside their local grocery store, right opposite a school, then what happens? The local police come, the state police come. I think the feds came to investigate that. Nothing happened to Hunter. He explained it away. And meanwhile, two men who identified themselves as Secret Service agents turned up simultaneously at the gun shop to ask to have all the paperwork that Hunter had fraudulently signed to take it away. And to his great credit, the gun shop owner refused to give it to them because he wasn't allowed to. He's bound by law to keep it. But that's a perfect example. Hunter pretended or lied on the form to say that, no, he wasn't taking drugs and hadn't taken drugs in recent times. Well, we know from the laptop that he was taking drugs at that time. He'd never stopped taking drugs, crack cocaine. And so he should never have been in possession of a gun. And His lover at the time, Hallie Biden, threw that gun in the trash can for a particular reason. She obviously thought that he was too unstable to have a gun, and she feared for her own safety, the safety of her children, and his safety, perhaps. So, you know, she was being rational, I guess, but Hunter Biden gets away with it. And millions of other people would not get away with it. The law-abiding gun owner would not get away with not crossing the T's and dotting the I's if the feds decided to come after him or her. So again, two systems of justice, and it's just such irony and hypocrisy of the president to stand up and rail against gun laws and say that we need to take guns away from law-abiding gun owners when his own son was behaving in that way.
you just brought up something because I read your latest piece also about this idea of toxic masculinity and how it has affected our society. And as far as we have everyone that's demonized the police, they've destroyed males in this country. I don't care what people say, but males have been emasculated, particularly young males. And then people are quick to criticize the police for not going in to the Uvalde school to stop the shooting and get the kids. Now, I'm someone that does criticize them because I come from an emergency management homeland security background. And to me, you know, we've drilled on this time and time again. You just go into the school. Doesn't matter. You just go in. You don't wait. It used to be that you set up the perimeter. But as far as this woke toxic culture towards males, how's that impacting the political environment that exists out there?
Look, you're so right about Uvalde. And I think, you know, you say you should go in, but I mean, that's human beings going into danger to, you know, to death. And that's what we saw in 9/11, all those heroes who just, you know, there's a firehouse near me in Midtown where all 15 men on that shift perished because they just, without a moment's hesitation, got in their trucks and raced down to Ground Zero and, you know, strapped on their oxygen tanks to run up the 105 stairs to save people, and they rushed to their own death. And we used to really respect and honour that kind of valour, that courage, you know, the masculine virtues that would have us have men do that. And I mean, it's a masculine thing to do, to rush into danger like that. You know, it adventure, risk, violence, all those qualities of masculinity, which have now been demonized. I mean, we had the American Psychological Society in 2019 actually say that those manly qualities, those manly attributes, are really diseased. They're psychologically harmful. And they described stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, aggression, achievement, not wanting to look weak, adventure, risk, and even violence. I mean, you know, how can you protect yourself if you're not willing to use violence in a controlled way in the military? That's what the military is all about. And, you know, we saw last week, in honor of Pride Week, the US Marines tweeted out a photograph of a combat helmet with bullets in, adorned with rainbow colored bullets. Now, you know, bullets are there to kill. Warriors are there to kill. The military is there to kill. It's what Marines are meant to do. You can't soft soap it and pretend that they're there to be social justice warriors, you know, woke brand ambassadors. And we seem to be trying, you know, emasculating our men, but also emasculating our institutions, which by their very nature were masculine because they were there to protect us from predators. And all this does by branding those masculine attributes, those protective attributes that the guardians of our society had and were innate to them, by calling them diseased and telling little boys that their you know, intrinsic nature is diseased. All we've done is weaken ourselves, make the most vulnerable among us, women, children, the elderly, the disabled, make them even more vulnerable to predators. And there are predators out there. No matter how we, you know, in our vanity pretend that we can, you know, do away with masculinity and violence and call it bad, there are predators out there. China is not woke. Their military is not woke. You know, we have enemies out there. We have predators out there. There are predators in our cities who are assaulting women on the subways, and there are no action men, no heroes, no Gary Coopers in the subway cars to step in and put their own life at risk to rescue them. And I think it's a very sad situation that we've found ourselves in now. And I think Uvalde speaks to that. You know, you have 19 children and their two teachers slaughtered while outside the door are milling around police officers waiting for an order.
Yeah, it's insane. I believe China actually passed a series of laws, and they translate, and this is, it translates into banning sissy man.
Yes.
That's what it translates into. So it shows you the mindset of our adversaries around the world. Miranda, I really appreciate you coming on. Always love talking to you because you're one of the few journalists out there that actually report on important issues, and most don't.
Thanks so much, Nick. I always love talking to you as well.
I always enjoy your work, so make sure you check it out. I have the links up at the PAS Report. Make sure to get her book, Laptop from Hell. It is a fantastic book. She's the one that exposed the cover-up. When no one else wanted to talk about it, she's the one that shined the light on what's really going on out there. So I appreciate that. In the meantime, I'm working on a great episode for Wednesday, so you're going to want to tune in. You're not going to want to miss it. Be sure to share this episode with others. Also, if you're in the Suffolk County region, make sure to check out Blue Collar Barbell. Shauna Mendelson, she's a great patriot. They do personal training, strength conditioning, powerlifting, sports-specific training, nutritional counseling, speed and agility. You got to check them out over there. I have the links up at the PAS Report website, PASReport.com. I want to thank you for joining me, and I'll be back on Wednesday bringing you another great episode of the PAS Report podcast.
Thank you for listening to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Also, visit PASReport.com and follow us on Twitter at PAS Report.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.